Hey guys, today we're gonna take a look back at the very first trading lesson or investment lesson that I ever learned and how it's still very important to this day as well. We're also gonna talk about a little bit of what happened in the background as far as market manipulation. I'm doing the whole air quote thing that you can't see because this is audio only. So anyway, check it out and enjoy. I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that can kind of sum up the market as far as like when to expect moves, it is deviation from the expectation. It works for fundamentals, like we spoke about. The biggest moves in fundamentals comes from when there's a deviation from the expectation. When everyone thinks Aussie dollar is going to hold rate steady, and they come out like, hey, hiking it, boom, take that, right? Oh my gosh, then there's a panic. When the RSI is doing something different, we're like, hey, price is going up, RSI should be going up, why are we going down? Boom, deviation from the expectation. It's a good summary for kind of the looking for the best moves in the market. It's a good summary for general as well, where I was talking to my wife about this the other day about she heard something on the news that was financially related. And I was like, yeah, you should probably do the opposite. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, when everyone is saying go left, the move left is probably already made. So we should start looking right. Right. When the whole crowd is walking towards like this door, I'm picturing like a crowd of wandering, like mindless zombie humans who like there's this, you know, that we're being like herded in by like food, money, or sports. Those are the three things that usually get us right. Food, money, sports, video games. We're just like, ah, free food. Yeah. Right. When everyone's walking right, I'm kind of like, you know what? I think I'll meet you at the car. I'm gonna go the other way. Right. That is, Greg says, greedy when others are fearful. Yeah, I tell you, that was the first thing not my trading mentor, but my investing mentor. He was an old millionaire. That was the first thing he taught me. Because again, when I first came in, I'm like, you know, I'm new trade. I know nothing. Okay? I have no trading background. Like I am plain bread. I am plain bread. There's not just a loaf. So I'm like, I'm sponging everything in, right? So I'm like, I had this office he gave me. I had two TVs and a laptop. They all had different news, right? So I'm just trying to gather information from news. So all of my opinions are like what they're saying on news. So like I would sit in my office. I'd be listening to like Squawk on the Street and Bloomberg and whatever else in the morning. And they all would be saying one thing. And I'd run into his office. Hey, Mr. Frank, we got to buy this. And he's like, and he turns around, he's like, why? I'm like, well, this guy said this guy said that, this guy said that. And he does like, he types in his little thing. He's like, okay. All right, let's put a sell on. I'm like, no, Mr. He's, you know, he's older. I'm like, no, Mr. Frank. I said, buy. He said, yeah, I heard you. Let's put a sell on. I'm like, well, why the hell are you putting a sell on? He's like, well, if everyone's saying buy, we should probably sell. And like, he wouldn't tell me why at first. Like, he, you know, he's one of those type of, like, it's a blessing in disguise, but he's one of those type of guys that like lets you figure it out. So he would never tell me why. And then like, it'd be like months later, he'd come back. He's like, remember that Rite Aid stock you wanted to buy? Made this much selling it. I'm like, what? I'm like, how? And then he would sit down and give me a lesson. But yeah, 100%. First lesson I learned, right? Do the opposite. Right. And if you think about it, right, most traders are losers. No offense. Right. I was a loser, too. So I feel comfortable saying it. Most traders and investors are losers. They don't know what they're doing. If when you get to the deeper kind of understanding of the market, you also understand the manipulation. And I don't mean that in a negative way, like it's blatant manipulation, like someone's hacking into your computer and like moving your stop loss or anything like that. But I mean, manipulation of the mind where institutional traders, insiders, smart money, whatever you want to call them, the game is played by knowing exactly it's crowd psychology. That is the game. It is no different than, and this is why I don't like the word manipulation, it is no different than sports, right? So learning about soccer now, right? But the best example I can give is a you know, like football or basketball, any type of team sport, right? When you're running a play, your typical play is to get someone open so you can give them the ball and they can ultimately score. So what do you need to get them open, right? Well, you need to move defenders. If you're on offense, you need to move defenders in a certain way. So if you are a football team, if you ever watched American football, They line up, and then there's all these people moving around. The quarterback's yelling. They're shifting. They're going in motion, right? Is all that just because they want to get a little extra cardio in? No, right? They are moving. They are moving their players around so they can kind of see what the defense is doing. And then there are typically players that are on the field where when the play happens, they know they're not getting the ball. But their whole job is to kind of distract and make another defender do a certain thing. I remember watching it was a documentary on FC Barcelona. And it was FC Barcelona about the coaching styles and whatever like that. And I remember they were interviewing Thierry Henry, right? One of the greatest soccer players ever. And he was talking about one of the adjustments that he made with Barcelona was that he was used to being the man. And then when he was there, he was asked to do these runs like 10 times where he knew he would never get the ball. But he was like, I had to do those runs 10 times because every time I did those runs, right, because I'm this great player, I would suck two defenders in with me. And that would leave open space for the person behind me. Right? So it's all about understanding how to manipulate your opposition. So traders are doing the same thing. Right? These insiders, these smart money, these whatever you want to call them, they're doing the same thing. They know how the basic human acts, right? Think about it, right? If I go on the news and I just say, hey, buy gold, everyone's saying buy gold, gotta buy gold, this is the best time to buy gold. What do you think most novice traders are gonna do? And I'm talking about traders that aren't like actually trading, investors that aren't actually investing, like your normal type of person. What do you think they're gonna do? Yeah, they're going to jump on and buy gold, right? You want a great example? Just look at crypto over the last decade. How many people do you know that know nothing about crypto and Bitcoin out there trying to trade crypto and Bitcoin? They know nothing about it. But they hear everyone talking about it. Everyone's saying you got to hop on. So what do? They hop on, right? So they know how to manipulate. They know how we think. They know how to put whatever out there in order to get us to do whatever action they want us to do. And that is the game. That is the game. They know that, hey, if I make something look really, really, really good, people are going to buy. I'm probably already long that position, and I just need people to buy for one of two reasons. One, to push that momentum higher so I can make more money. Or two, I want to get out and I need some liquidity because I can't get out by myself. And then once I sell, we'll reverse the message. We know that the price will start going down. We know that your novice investor can't sit in a losing trade, right? They're going to panic as soon as they enter and things go down right away. And if they panic, they're going to want to get out. If they want to get out, they need someone to sell it to. I'd love to buy it at a cheaper price once again, because I bought it at this price before, made a lot of money. If it goes back to that price, I'll buy it again, right? Investing 101. We say the same thing in recessions or any type of downward market, right? If you bought Microsoft at $30 and you thought it was a good buy and you sold it at $60, if Microsoft goes down to $30 and nothing has changed fundamentally about it, just the mood of the market, why would you not buy it again? We're having these conversations all during COVID, right? I'm like, buy it twice. Buy double. So they understand that game. They know how to manipulate us. Again, similar to sports, they know how to manipulate us to do kind of their bidding. So, but yeah, Mr. Frank taught me those lessons, right? Always kind of. And it doesn't always mean do the opposite. You just don't jump and do the opposite. But take some time, throw in a pattern interrupt to think about it, right? Before getting too emotionally involved, because again, we're fearful, we're greedy in whatever situation we're in, whether they're telling us to buy or sell. Instead of just like reacting right away, and I'm like, I gotta do this, I gotta buy gold. Like just take a step back, analyze it real quick. Hopefully you have something in you that allows you to come up with your own decision. You're not just basing your decision off someone else. And then make your decision off of that. But I said, I have a couple of friends who do this too. Yeah, well, that was me, Bobby. When I traded stocks, I didn't trade that many stocks because I don't know enough. So there, I probably only tracked about maybe 10, 10 stocks on a regular basis. And again, part of this was kind of me feeling like a trader, like because I wanted action. But I would do the thing where like I would buy it at a certain level. I'd sell it at another level. Now, I had no reason for selling it, no rhyme or reason. I was just, you know, just doing dumb stuff. But I would sell it for profit. And then like a couple weeks later, if it would go back to that original price, I would just buy it again. Now, again, I had no rules, so there was only so much consistency in doing it. I didn't have a lot of money, so like, you know, brokerage fees were taking away half of my profit. Because when I'm buying like 5 shares of Microsoft and then I'm getting charged, 5 in, 5 out, something like that for execution, I'm not actually making that much money. But it felt like I was doing something. I felt, man, I wasn't doing anything, was I? Darn it. I was on a hamster wheel. Now that I think about it, I just had a realization. No, I knew it, but like it was me at the time, and it was even though I wasn't making money, it was good experience. It was good experience. You do get, I was getting reps in, I was making some money. It got me kind of, it allowed me to understand the game. So I, you know, that made sense. But yeah, you want to do the opposite. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. You didn't get a chance to see this, but this conversation actually stemmed from a question on technical analysis. We were talking about a specific price action pattern and kind of digging into the psychology and actions behind it. If you're interested in learning that type of stuff, feel free, right? Work with us over at Tier 1 Trading. Just head over to www.tier1trading.com. Sign up for that 14-day risk-free trial membership. It gives you access to the platform, our community, some software, some courses, and some live sessions. Dip a toe in or just jump fully in to that trial membership. There's no auto bill. There's no sneaky sales. 14 days, and then you're kicked off, right? www.tier1trading.com. I look forward to seeing you guys over there.